I hope you've been doing some prayer for our nation, including in your normal prayers. We have our D9 project. For those of you that like project names and buzzwords, D9 project is Daniel chapter 9. There's a prayer of Daniel recorded for us right there. Him interceding for his nation. All of a sudden realizing, wow, God's word does come true. Wow, where we are right now is a result of our disobedience of God. Wow, it's exactly like he said it would be, 70 years. And he just completely, the books were open to him and the truth, and he just got before God in some powerful, powerful prayer. Daniel chapter 9, do it, do it, do it, do it. Fast and pray and read that, read it through and pray as he did. We'll be talking about more of that as we go through Deuteronomy 28. We've been there for, it seems, 28 months, but I thought I would really go through this fast, but I haven't. God has his ways. Amen. The Bible is filled with prophecy. I wasn't kidding when I said, when you guys stand up and read the Word of God, when you share the Word of God, that you're being prophets. Because it's truth. What you read there will come to pass. As you trust in God, Roger read it this morning, there's a promise associated with that, that there will be blessings that come. Read that in the Proverbs chapter 3. Go over that. The Bible is filled with prophecy. Word that has been foretold and has come to pass later in people's lives, or even written later in the books of history or the Bible itself. We're in a passage, we happen to be in a place where there's severe warnings going out. Heavy-duty warnings. The blessings were kind of pronounced, but the warnings, which are more of what they're going to go in the direction of, are being very detailed. God is covering it all. It's like, this is the direction you're headed in, and this is going to be the result. So the warning coming of the events of Israel, and for us, we can apply in our lives individually. From this end, we look at these things that have taken place in history, and we look back and wonder how God could allow certain things to happen. And we know that as parents, we discipline a child who knows better and is defiant. And this is what is really taking place to a large extent here, the rebellion of man. We just need to look at all these writings here of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, Moses in this case, Obadiah, and the warnings and warnings that have been given. The word is prophetic. So the blessings come as we heed and we trust in God, and the curses or the chastisement of his people will come as we turn our back and as we neglect the things of God. Interceding for our nation. We left off in the first part of Daniel. And I want to read that before we begin verse 42 in Deuteronomy 28. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. I prayed unto the Lord and made my confession. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful or awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, have committed iniquity, have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, we haven't listened to them, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers. All right, verse 42. All of the trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. These words coming from Mount Ebal, the people of Israel hearing this, full and good well, knowing that rebellion results in these things. Interesting way to bring up a sermon or begin a sermon. This is verse 42 there. The trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. What if that was the only verse we had in the scripture? Or we just ended there. And that just cut off right there. There was no other books in the Bible. There was no Matthew, Mark. There was no Philippians. There was no Ephesians. It just ended there. The locusts consuming. That'd be pretty sad. It's good that it doesn't end there. But it is sad for some folks, that is where it ends. That is how their life plays out. They work real hard and strive for that pie in the sky dream and then come to that realization at the end of their life that it's been a vapor. All of those things that they thought they could grab a hold of and that would be life is just a mirage. And if you've seen that before, somebody, maybe a movie or something, somebody in the desert and they start getting delirious because of thirst and they see that mirage of a beautiful fountain and palm trees and things like that. And they run towards it and they start shoveling sand in their face, realizing that it was nothing but a mirage, a vision. And that's what all these things are in the world. Material things, the cars, the homes, the property, the clothes, collectibles, and all the associated things that go with that. The learning and the skills and knowledge. For example, a large part of my life is spent working and learning about computers and technology. Another person, it might be a car mechanic or a plumber or retail selling something. This is all good as long as it's all in the proper perspective. Material wealth serves a purpose, but your purpose is not material wealth. What? Material wealth serves a purpose. We work. We have to have bank accounts. We have to buy groceries. Material wealth serves a purpose. Food, clothing, shelter. But your purpose is not material wealth. I know that. Well, how come 99% of the world doesn't? It's evidenced all around us. That's what people are grasping. They see the mirage running for it. And end of their life, they realize it's sand that slips through their hands. It was nothing that quenched their thirst after all. That longing that they had needed to be directed to God and connected to the heavenly throne. There's nothing on this earth that can satisfy man. A beaver's happy building a dam and bee is happy making his honey. That's fine. They're satisfied in that. Man is not satisfied with anything in this earth fully. Except God. We are unique creatures in that way. That separates us from the spotted owl and the barn owl and everything else, is that we've been designed to be connected with God, to be sons and daughters, to have fellowship with Him. What a fantastic thing. I like to walk around sometimes. I like to walk around a lot. I like to walk. And sometimes I find myself going through a graveyard, right? And your walks, you're going to run into them. Sometimes it's kind of nice because it's away from traffic and it's quiet. Not too many people yelling in there. I'm always intrigued by the names. You know, you look at the headstones, the dates, and the things sometimes written on them. That stone rising up and out of the ground says something to us. It says this life was significant. Significant enough to make a permanent marker, a spot reserved on the earth forever for that single life. That's pretty cool. Nothing. This is reserved for that person's life that lived from this time to that time. And here's their name. That tells us something. Something's going on there. That we would carve out a spot on the earth and reserve that for a human life. For just a person. Forever reserved on this earth for them. There is something in us that is that sense of something eternal, something wonderful, something of great purpose and destiny. Never take for granted one day. Never take for granted one day. Or succumb, as I was tempted yesterday to do, that, Lord, just get me through this day. I want this day to end. I wish this day was over attitude. You know that attitude. I was tempted to go in that direction yesterday. But this sense that drives man to set apart a permanent plot on this earth with that marker recognizing a human life, even for a little tiny life that has only lived a few days, you'll see you come across a little tiny life there and recognize how precious that life is. And how wonderful that is. There's something in us that recognizes the beauty of the gift of life, that we would do things like that. There's something that drives us to do that. I tell you what now, it is not by the chemical responses from the lies of evolution, but from the eternal Creator who fashioned us in His own likeness. We are driven to look beyond the food, the clothes, and the material things for purposes that are far and above all of those things. It is tragic when someone's life can be summed up by verse 42. the trees of the, and the fruit of thy land. That's your work, your labor, and your life. Everything sums up to the locust consuming it. That would be an interesting grave marker, wouldn't it? That verse. The locust consumed my life. That was the sum and total of my life. Let's not be in that camp. Let's move beyond 42. All of that fruit, all of that work and effort, Monday through Friday. Time to make the donuts. Time to make the donuts. Time to fix the computers. Time to go plumbing. Time to do this. TBT, TGIF, all of this stuff. All of this ends here in this verse for some people. This would be an accurate epitaph or a grave marker for some. Many. This is partially true for those that are in Jesus Christ, only partially true. Because as we stand before the Lord, the things that weren't done for them, because we have folly in our lives, we stumble, we backslide, we trip up all the time, we have issues. All that stuff is going to burn up. The locusts will consume that. But what is precious, what is left, God's going to say, come forward. And there's going to be that cleansing process as we enter into heaven. That final burning away of anything that was done on this earth. All the memories of it and everything. Just the final burn off. What is left, the things that we did for God, the things that we did for His glory, those will be precious and will remain. As born-again believers, we still engage in the temporary things of this earth, but we also have our eyes on the prize, Jesus, and serve the living God. We know that the loving, living God is the supreme ruler of all the universe, and no thought, action, or effort could compare to serving Him and His love. In God's love, and only in the love of God are we able to love others, which include the unlovable. Only in the love of God. Only in that flow of the love of God. We were singing about it this morning. We need to drink it in. We need not just to sing words on a page or follow along with a song leader. We need to drink in the love of God as we're worshiping Him. There's something going on during worship. We're drinking in. The Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people, of you and me. God is love. We experience the love of God, the presence of God, as we praise Him. There's something that happens in the supernatural when we're singing to Him, and lifting our hearts and voices to Him. Drink it in. Watch the love of God impact your ability to love others. Life is so much more enjoyable when the love of God is flowing. Mm-hmm. Instead of just being irritated with this person and that person for this reason and that reason, I don't know how he does it, but the love of God makes me love that person and this person no matter what this or that used to bug me about. He has given me victory in this area. I can testify to that. Amen. He is a good God. His love is awesome. He inhabits the praises of His people. Get connected. Drink it in. Let's continue in verse 43 through 44. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. This is now speaking in a national sense. And thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. If you want to get an idea of what God is talking about there, you can come over to the house, have some lunch, and we'll take you over to the horse farm. You can feed him an apple or whatever. You can get the understanding of what a head and what a tail is. And why God is using that comparison. This is something, sad to say, that we have seen happen to our own very nation. We have fallen deeper into the trappings of being a borrower. Deeper into debt. You know that. Even early on in our campaign for independence, I don't know if you know this, We sought money from other countries, the French and the Dutch in particular. Benjamin Franklin was over there asking for money. However, there are strings attached with such borrowing, and we experience those strings. We, so hungry for freedom, all of a sudden, borrowing from other countries, we're like, we need to pay this off quick. Now France wants us to do this, to fight against Britain with them, and we need to pay it off. And so really, if you want to look at our independence, 1790. 1790 is when we had clear, free, no debt. We had paid off France, and they weren't on our backs anymore, and the Dutch. That was, you could think of it as another type of Independence Day. Praise God. I recall burning, as a personal testimony to this, burning our student loan papers, Gretchen and I, and being debt-free for a little period of time. I shaved my beard in celebration of that freedom. Ran and Mindy were in the bathroom with me just so they wouldn't be scared after I was done shaving. They could see it happen. And I remember that like yesterday. God refers to this freedom as being the head and not the tail. So kind of being in control of things more in your life instead of the tail, which basically just follows and, you know, the other things that happen in the tail. In debt, we can feel like that. It can be very lousy and even seem like we're chasing our tails. It's all about the tail. So two ends of the horse God using here. If someone is really, really mad at you, they might call you one of the ends of the horse, and it's usually not the head. So what's wrong with that tail end? Again, come on over and you can watch what happens. We don't like to be called a tail end. Yet that's what becomes of us and our nation with unbridled spending and an unquenchable thirst for stuff, the material stuff. Our purpose in life is not material stuff, although it serves a purpose in our lives. Our purpose is much greater, to serve and love the living God and to give Him glory. We could go into numbers about debt into this verse and really look at things until we're all numb. But again, something that gratifies now can really hurt not only ourselves, but our kids or grandchildren later. I want this. I'm not letting go of this level of comfort. Someone's got to pick up the tab as our country stuffs itself at the table of materialism and entertainment. Yes, I'm getting political. I love the last month of a car payment. I really like. I look forward to that. It's like, okay, it's 3 months away. I can't wait. I look forward to calling an insurance agent, put me on liability. I'm going to ride this baby into the ground. And that's how I roll. I'll buy a car and I'll run it for 10 years until it doesn't make sense to run it anymore. Amen. Part of our prayer for this nation is that we would regain the freedom that we lost. We lost freedom and we've gone into such a spiral of debt. That we would be the head and not the tail. I want to be a free country again. It is not as it was in 1790 right now. We need to go to war against the enemy, and that is greed and lust. We need to take this prayer, this Project D9 project serious. We have sinned against you. And start fasting. It begins in the house of God with His people. But we just need to support Israel, and we'll be blessed as a nation, someone might say. I do believe we're blessed because of that, but also feel that doesn't mask the monstrosity of sin that we've embraced as well. I believe I'm blessed in Christ, as His Word states in Ephesians chapter 1. But I also know this as a Christian, that I reap what I sow. The Bible calls it, very interesting term, frustrating grace. Am I going to frustrate grace today, God? Help me not frustrate grace today. Such an interesting expression. I think I will use it instead of some other choice words like, you're ticking me off, dude. Man, you're frustrating my grace. We reap what we sow. Yes, we're blessed in Christ. but we reap what we sow at the same time. God's word comes to pass in our life. Don't frustrate grace. Don't push back those blessings and frustrate those things God is trying to do in our lives through the sin, greed, and lust that we have. Galatians 2:21 says that very term. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Different ways of frustrating the grace of God. As an individual, we can frustrate these blessings, this grace, even the peace that flows from heaven. As a nation, we can frustrate the blessing promised in Genesis. And we have seen this. Being honest citizens here, we have seen this to a greater and greater degree as we drift away from one nation under God. We have seen what this verse talks about, a stranger rising up, it says here, becoming the borrower, becoming the tail and not the head. That's the direction that we're fighting against, we're praying against as a people. I do not like the thought that we as a people are in massive debt to an atheist, persecuting Christian nation, that is China. That bothers me. The paradox, though, of a nation like that is there's an underground church. There's always paradoxes. There's always beauty in the ashes. There's always God doing something somewhere to put a smile on your face. There's a beautiful people in that country. It's called the underground church. Beautiful, on fire, weeping. They get a Bible, man. They're weeping. Man, they're just weeping. They have weeping meetings. A shipment of Bible comes in. They know the value of the Word of God. They know it sharpens their faith. They know it makes them effectual and powerful, and that faith can move mountains. They know it. They live it. Let's continue with Daniel's prayer right now in verse 7, picking up from where we left off. Our Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Confusion. I'll talk about that maybe today, I hope. As this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries, whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. He continues, O Lord, to us belongs confusion of faces. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. We have sinned against thee. Take personal responsibility for your country. I'm glad we have soldiers fighting for us. We need to fight too. We need to take responsibility. We need to pick up the weapons of warfare. We need to engage in the battles. One of the most frustrating things for me is the confusion of what is right and wrong. You hear Daniel repeating that term, confusion of face being upon us. That's the result of sin, sinning against God. He made it clear in his prayer in Daniel 9. One of the most frustrating things for me is the confusion between what is right and wrong in the world that we live in right now. Let me give you some examples. People in tears celebrating the union of two people being married. In tears, great joy, great celebration. People are happy, yet it's a woman marrying a woman. And it is something that God is offended about and made clear that he is. It's a man marrying a man. It's an offense and it's an abomination to God. But they're so happy. There's tears. There's joy. Even love being demonstrated, them loving each other and all of this stuff. But it's an offense to God. It is very clearly pronounced by God as an offense. Frustration, confusion. You see that happening? The confusion of faith. This people, this reality we live in now. That we would go into witnessing a celebration like that and say this is wrong. And have to say that in front of a bunch of people that are having a great time. This is wrong in the eyes of God. I'm sorry, but it's wrong. Frustrating. Another example. This might be more subtle, might be more personal at home and hit home is humor. This one kind of popped in my head. It's something that we all enjoy. People could be laughing. Man, it's a great time. People are rolling on the floor. But what are they laughing about? Somebody did something crude. Somebody said something crude about someone else or something that was inappropriate. Certainly disrespected God. Yeah, it was so funny, but we've got to stand up for that and say, you know what? I'm not even going to laugh at that. And we've got to be the wet blanket then. It's frustrating. Confusion. Yeah, this is good. This is funny. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It flies in the face of your Creator. That does matter. Sometimes you feel like a religious nut, you know, when you have to do things like that. Right, self-righteous and all these things coming to mind. I'm going to be accused of being judgmental. So what? Stand up for God. Not to put other people down. Just stand up for God. Make that your point. Stand up because you love God. We don't worship happiness. We don't worship laughter. We don't worship those things. Those are good things. But when those things get elevated to be the God, oh, there's such joy. There's such happiness happening there between that couple. There's such joy in this laughter. That's not God. That's a good thing. God's way, way up here above that. Why would it be looking at that as more important than God? I'm saying, wait a minute. That's offending God. Therefore, this thing needs to go away. This thing needs to be dealt with. Third example. This is more recent. Recent frustration. As I saw people doing something, it became what they call viral. The ice bucket challenge. Maybe some of you did it. Knowing that they're doing something good and feeling good about it. I'm looking, oh, that's really cool. I was watching these things, laughing, watching these things. I say, that's really cool. Man, there's something good happening. We can feel good about this. There's a community of people that are getting together to fight a horrid disease. And they're having fun while they're doing it. It's funny, except for the people that died and got hurt because they went overboard. Here's the frustration. This agency uses embryos to support its research. Father God, we just lift up that emergency to you right now, Lord. There's probably a person right now that is scared. Maybe moments seem like hours, and their life might be hanging in the balance, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'd intervene, Lord. You'd strengthen those that are called out to this need, Lord Jesus. We pray just for great strength, and your glory would be known through this. Amen. That's frustrating to me, isn't it? It makes me so frustrated, is the word. You can't describe it in a better way. I'm like, so like, oh man, this is cool, this is fun. But wait a minute, this agency is taking some of that money and doing it. Am I going to write on the check, okay, don't use this, don't use my money and, you know, to kill babies and embryos. I know some people did it that way, but really. Think about it. Confusion is frustrating. Even that, it's just like, okay, I'm writing a check to the devil, basically. Devil, don't use it for this particular monstrosity that you're doing. But continue to do that false light that everybody's so happy about. Frustrating. I don't want to be a religious jerk. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to be a wet blanket on everything. But I do hold God in the highest regard above everything. It's because of my love for God that I would be that wet blanket that would risk being a jerk even. But that's not my goal. It's not my goal to ruin people's joy or whatever like that, to be a killjoy. Amen. So great tact and those type of things, please. These verses that we're reading are the harsh realities of our existence. Life is precious. Precious enough that we set up permanent markers saying that a human being named so-and-so lived from this date to another, and a permanent spot for them reserved on this earth forever. Let's not take a day for granted. Let's invest in the riches of His love. When we worship God, let's discover what that means. Him inhabiting our praises. Seek Him out. God, fill me. Lord, take me as I'm singing to You, Lord Jesus. You might find yourself speaking in a different language even when you're worshiping and praising Him. It might happen during a song. Things will happen. Things will happen because the Lord is inhabiting the praises of His people. That makes any day a good day. Whether you're beaten in prison or it feels like one of those days, I wish it would just end. It makes it a good day when you experience the presence of God. Redeem the day every day. Worship the Lord and drink in that love. We're going to read verse 45 through the end, so fasten your seatbelts. It's a long one. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest or not listen unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign, for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, and for the abundance of things. We're going to come back to verse 47. We want to underline that. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and the gladness of heart. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst, and nakedness, and want of things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until He has destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar off, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not even understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which thou shalt not regard of person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Doesn't matter. No regard for anyone. And he shall eat the fruit of the cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave either the corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy cows, or the flocks of thy sheep, until he has destroyed thee. We're going to, as we're reading this, get the idea here of a people or a person reaching the bottom. Man, they're at the bottom now. Well, maybe not. What does it take? What does it take to break human pride? Talking about horses, it takes a lot of work to break a wild horse. You ever see that before? Maybe you've seen a show or something where someone's breaking a horse in, a wild horse or a stallion. That's a lot of work. Bringing them into a place of being useful and a beneficial creature to man. Wild horses are great and free, but in regards to their usefulness to human beings, they must be broken. Our free will is a tremendous and great gift. We're wild horses too. But left to its own wild pursuits, it's not useful or beneficial to the kingdom of God in any shape or fashion. It's not easy to break a horse, and it's near impossible to break a man. Just how long can people go, and how low can they go before they are broken and become useful to God? Let's read how things can get. Let's continue to read. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest. Each one of you this morning read a proverb about trusting God or a verse about trusting God. And that's an issue. You can underline that. We'll come back to that. He shall besiege thee whereas thou trustest. They're trusting in their own security. Through all thy land, and he shall besiege thee and all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God has given thee. And thou shalt eat of thy own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters. It's getting horrible here. How low can you go? How long does it take? They're eating their sons and daughters, which the Lord thy God has given thee in the siege and in the straitness or disparity, wherewith thy enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, even the most mild person, it says here, so that man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil towards his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which shall leave. Everyone will be hating each other. Even the people that are naturally pretty nice and calm and relaxed will be in this state, it says there in 54. So that he will not give to any of them in the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in this straitness or disparity wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman, also the woman, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for her delicateness and tenderness, the most tender of people, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, toward her daughter. People will be completely vile and corrupt, even the ones that are naturally pretty nice. Toward her young one that comes out from between her feet, who she gave birth to, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them. My goodness. For the want of all things, secretly in the siege and the disparity, with when thy enemy shall distress thee in thy gates, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words. It all comes back to this. Things can get so insane. So insane. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in the book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful or horrible in that sense. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of. They shall cleave unto thee also every sickness, every plague which was not written in the book of this law. Them will the Lord bring upon thee until he be destroyed. You guys getting tired yet? I am. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of watching it in people's lives. I'm tired of seeing them hit bottom, what I think is bottom, and know that we've got to dig deeper. I'm tired of seeing human pride turn its back on God no matter what comes. And ye shall be left few in a number, whereas you were at the stars, as were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass on the home stretch here, that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good. Amen. Praise you, Lord God. Just ask for your Holy Spirit to be with these people, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise you. Amen. You're not only fighting for your country, you're fighting for the people in your community when you pray. You guys are warriors. I'm so happy that you're prayer warriors. I know you guys are doing it. Thank you, Jesus, for this people, this body. That day when we cross over, Lord Jesus, into glory, be able to see the things that you accomplish through the prayer of your people, Lord Jesus. It's going to be a great day, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Lord. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good, that is the will of God. I hope you get that idea. Right? God's not he's not pleased when the wicked die. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, it says. He wishes none should perish. This is where he wants to be, the Lord rejoicing over us to do you good. That's where he wants to be. Good, I'll sign up for that one. Where's the sign-up sheet? And to multiply you. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. On the other hand, rejecting, rebelling, being defiant. And to bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. People love their excuses. Oh, this is why I'm this way, and this is why this sucks, and that sucks, and this is why my life is like this, and this is why, and pointed all kinds of excuses. Bringing to nothing. This reminds me of that verse right here. Bringing into nothingness. All of those excuses. Mount them up, build them all up, and you've got a tower built to the God of nothingness. You're worshiping at the altar of nothing. Forget about excuses. Get in touch with God. The Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there shall serve other gods, which neither nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Eating your children, worshiping a stick, worshiping a rock. Ridiculous. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing eyes and a sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night and shall have none assurance of thy life. Sounds great. spirit day and night. How many people out there now, that's their life. It's all couched in fear. Everything they do is based in fear of, I'm holding on to my money because I'm afraid of this. I'm not stepping out because I'm afraid of this. I'm doing this because of fear. Stockpiling, I'm hiding things. No assurance of thy life. It's what you get now out of life. That's how they live. In the morning thou shalt say, would to God that it was evening. Wish this day was over. There it is. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. Can't sleep at night. You got all these things going through your mind. We struggle with that, but we do have the living God to turn to. And he brings comfort. Would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord God shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall even buy you. That's how low it is. Amen. We finish chapter 28. We do wonder sometimes when people will reach that real bottom of being broken. It does take a great work. Let's look at just a few of these verses as we wrap up today. In verse 47, very important that we underline that. This ties it all back to the human heart. The pronouncements of the blessings, it depends on the obedience to the word of God. We heard that over and over, but here's a key. Here's a key that goes along with that obedience, following God, with joy and with gladness of heart. With joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Tie that all together with one word, thankfulness. Thankfulness. Serving God with joy and with gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, whatever it is, a crumb of bread or a whole loaf, thanking God with that joy. Thanksgiving, that is key. That is so key. They were not doing this in this verse here. At least this pronouncement, this prophetic pronouncement. Another translation, because you did not serve the Lord God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received. Oh, buzzword, benefits. What benefits do we have following God? What's the benefit package in the kingdom of God? Where's the bennies? Can you list some? Can you get a sheet of paper and write down 25? It's sounding familiar. How about 50? How about 100? How about 10,000? Psalm 103. We were there a few weeks ago in the woods, the top of a hill in a misty rain, breaking bread with each other and celebrating the benefits of God. The benefits of God. The whole camp weekend was called the 10,000 Reasons. And these are the 10,000 reasons we follow God, the benefits that are bestowed upon us. We have probably 500 now. I like the, go back to my office. I like the children's renditions, and I like them all. Nice cookie there. Being thankful, joy and thanksgiving. That's the will of God. I don't know, I don't have any purpose or anything in my life. Start thanking Him. Start thanking God for everything that you have, even if it's a cookie that looks like that. You know, it looks pretty good. Got raisins in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for Ninja Man. All right? That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. There's a whole pile here. You're welcome to look through them. These were meant to be public, and we didn't put our names on them. Some of them are obvious who they are anyway, but it's a joy to look at them. So they're up here with a family dinner announcement. So, take a look sometime at those things.
Keep at it.
Yeah, and keep at it. Thank you. Keep at it. There's blank paper right there. And if we go through that whole stack there, we'll be on our way to 10,000 anyway. Getting pretty close. Verse 48. Another one I want to bring back to light before we close out today. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst, nakedness and wanton of things, desire. This makes me think of our nation a little bit in the sense of the church of Laodicea. In Revelation it says this, he who has an ear, you got ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Listen to this. This is for our nation. This is for the church that's going apostate. Don't go in that direction. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Someone that's cold hasn't experienced the love of God. They're ready to receive the gospel of grace. Somebody that's lukewarm, man, they are playing that game. One foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, thinking they're doing God because they do this, that, and the other thing, doing God a favor. Don't get deceived. Don't get deceived. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 17, speaking to the church of Laodicea, speaking to the United States, speaking to the church. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have no need of anything. Yeah, we've walked this verse. And do you not know that you have become wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? We've forsaken God. We've rolled His Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms. We've taken marriage and defined it as something else. We've killed millions of innocent ones that should deserve, each one, a plot on this earth and a marker. Because their life is precious. Why don't we know that? He counsels us. Buy from me gold refined in the fire. God counsels us. There's a solution. Buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. White garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Take the counsel from God today. You guys prophesied it this morning. Proverbs 16, trusting in God. Gretchen, Proverbs 30, his shield being that trust that we have in him. Roger, trusting with all of our heart, all of our ways acknowledging him. Lewis, accepting the scripture for what it is. Don't add to it. This is, you're going to find the promises of God adequate. You can trust in what's written here. You don't need something else. You don't need the next new book from Joel Osteen. You don't need something from this other person or that person. You need the Word of God. What's in here is more than adequate for you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for getting us through a very difficult chapter, but at the same time drawing riches out of it. Showing us your grace, showing us your glory in this time that we're reading through these difficult passages about people eating their children. I praise and thank you, Lord God, that you've given us your Savior, that you are faithful, Lord God. You are faithful. When we do stumble, when we fall, you are faithful, Lord, to complete the work that you began in us. We're going to take that verse and run with it, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Let's surrender to God this morning. Let's just close your eyes and raise your hands up. I'm not going to ask you for individuals to raise your hand. I'm asking all of you to raise your hand up. Lord, we surrender to you in trusting of our own resources. We're asking you, Lord God, to take the wheel of our life, you to be in the driver's seat. Lord Jesus, help us just enjoy the ride. We praise and thank you, Lord, for your blood. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.